Okay, we're on Daf Nun Vav tonight. I'll begin on the second line of Nun Vav Bet Aleph, Yavam 56a, the second line. So we did the Mishnah on Shabbos. The Mishnah was on Nun Gimel the base. So the Mishnah says, Echad ha-ma'arev, Echad ha-gomer kana. So the Mishnah taught that if a person does Yibam in inferior ways, it was whether he's shogeg, he didn't know who the woman was that he was having relations with, or he was mazed, he just did it for the shame of us, or he was onus, and the Gemara had his whole case where he fell off the roof and banged into her. In all those cases, he's kona her. And the Gemara also says, with ha'ara'a, ha'ara is the beginning of the sexual act, he also fires her. So the Gemara says on line two, echadam arev, echadagom erkana, it's in all those cases, he's kona. The Gemara says, my kana, when you do an inferior bia, so what type of kinyan do you get? In other words, everybody agrees that when you do the complete bia for the right intentions, you get a full kinyan. What about when you do this inferior bia? My kana. So Rav Amar kana the court. Rav says it doesn't make a difference. You got everything. The Mishnah says you're kona. You got everything. Shmuel says that the drasha is yavama yavo aleh biyama. So from the words yavo aleh biyama, we learn that you could be even, you know, if it's shogeg or it's mazid or it's ones, that he's kona. So Shmuel learns that those things are only kona for the things that are specifically written in the psukim of chumash, i.e., that once he does it, he yarshens his brother's estate. In other words, if Reuben is the deceased brother and Shimon is the yavam, Shimon yarshens Reuben's estate with the potrim and a yibam. And it's a legally valid yibam, meaning that if at some point in time, let's say now Shimon would die and Shimon has got kids, she's totally off the hook, nothing with yibam anymore. And then Rashi also says, if he divorces her, then she's divorced. She doesn't need chalitza, but everything we're finished with the yibam parsha. Now the thing that is really an issue, which the Gemara is going to develop, is when it comes to truma. Let's say the family of Reuven and Shimon were at say Kohanim. So on a deraisa level, a woman eats truma after erusin, but on a derabbanan level, he doesn't eat truma until after nisuin. So Chazal teaches us in the Gemara Masechet Ketubot, because it's a gzeira, we're afraid that she lives with her father's house after erusin. We're afraid that if he gives her truma and she's still in the father's house, she'll give some food to her, her brother, the family there, and Mela, the non-konim will eat truma, which is good. So because of that, we say normally you have to wait for nisuin to eat truma. So the Gemara says on line five, the Gemara is going to have more than one lashon, but in the first lashon, the Gemara says that if the first marriage to Reuven had gone through to Nisuin, so Reuven, and we'll give the woman a name Rachel, let's say Reuven was married to Rachel, and Reuven's a Kohen in this instance. Reuven was a Kohen, and he went through Nisuin and Rachel, so the Dibrei Kol Achla, so everybody agrees that she would eat Truma. After now, when Reuven dies, she loses her ticket to Truma. But when Shimon does Yibam, she regains. Shimon is also coin because he's a paternal brother. She retains the ticket back to eat Truma again. So the Gemara says that in Yisuin, they call Akla. Everybody agrees after if the first marriage had gone through Yisuin, everybody agrees that Rachel could eat the Truma. Now, how did Akla Nikara? She was eating Truma before, so we're just restoring her to the status quo ante. Keep pleading the machloket between Rav and Shmuel is mina erusin. If the first marriage had only gone through erusin, in other words, Reuven, who was a Kohen, had only gone through erusin with Rachel, and then Reuven died. This is Rav Amar Ochelek, the Rabbi Rachman of Yishogi, to Mazin. Rav says it doesn't make a difference. In other words, once he does this bia, even though it's an inferior bia, but the bia is like, you know, it's like the U.S. dollar. It's good for all debts, you know, public and private, whatever. So the bia works for all, for everything. So according to Rav, now she can eat truma. He says, Shmuel says, when the Torah is marba, that this bia, this inferior bia is good, it's only to put her in the status quo ante. La lumi ba'alo. To make her stronger in a better position than she was before that. All right, let me just do it. We'll summarize. I'll do a few more lines, and then we'll pause in 1 minute. Okay. So again, we have a machloket between Rav and Shmuel, and we're talking about where the kinyan is an inferior bia. And again, I'm just repeating myself. We said the Mishnah taught that whether it was shogeg or mazid or ones or ratzon, the bia works. So shogeg, he didn't know who he was having relations with, and mazid, he just wanted to have Znos, sex, he wasn't interested in Yibum. The Onis, you know, he was falling down the building and he plopped into her. So the Mishnah says that, and Hara also, when this question about which, whether our Gemara is actually talking about Hara or not, but the point is that it's inferior Bia. So the Gemara says that where the first marriage had gone through Nisuin, and the second marriage is obviously successor to that marriage, so everybody agrees the Bia will put her back to the status quo ante. There's no question about that. The question is where the first marriage was just through Erusin, where she wasn't able to eat Truma, and now the second marriage has this inferior form of Bia. Shmuel says inferior or not inferior. She acquires all the rights of a wife, and she can eat Truma. And that's what Rav says. Rav says that. And Shmuel says, no, this inferior Bia is only going to put her in the place that she was before. It's not going to put her in a superior position than she was before. All right? Any questions so far? All right, I'm going to move on. Yeah.
Okay, Rav has no problem with the Yabum being higher level than where the husband was?
No. I mean, everybody agrees that when he does a full Yabum, she'll be in a superior position. The question is where she is right now. Yeah. Let's take it back in tomorrow. So the Gemara says we're around 9:10. So Shmuel says that this inferior Bia only, you know, will put her in her status quo ante, won't make her in a superior position. He follows his shita. He says the Amar of Nachman of Shmuel Kol Shabal Ma'achil means that if the first marriage, again, we're talking about the family of Kohanim, if the first marriage Reuven, he would have gone through Nisuin, so he caused her to eat Truma, Yava will also cause her to eat Truma with the inferior being. But if the first marriage was not one that had gone through Nisuin, so he's not causing her to eat Truma, Yavam is not causing her to eat the Truma with the inferior being. All right, so we have the Shitot that are set up, and now the Gemara has a question against Shmuel. We ask Tasha from the following brisa against Shmuel. The brisa says, "Bat Yisrael pikachot shadars of the kohen pikach." You have a Jewish woman who's pikachot; she has her full mental capacity, and she is erusin with a kohen pikach. He's also full mental capacity. So far, so good. Lo speak with konsa, but before he, the kohen, could do nisuin with her, she became a deaf mute. So he says, Ina Okelin. So now she can't eat Truma, and it means even if he does Nisuin with her, she can't eat Truma. She can't eat Truma. And the reason she can't eat Truma is Gzeirut Rabbanan, because we're afraid that people will, in other words, if we let her eat Truma at this point, then people will think that, let's say the Chayresh does Kiddushin with her. People will think that the Kiddushin that he does with her will be Kiddushin that could eventually permit her to eat Truma. So that would not be the case. So we don't want to do anything, this is according to this, we'll see Machloket later on in the Gemara. So this is going according to the Tzad, that we're goes there, and if a Pekech does Nisuin, even though he was, if a Chayresh does Nisuin, even though he was a Pekech when he did Erusin, she can't eat Truma. He says, but may, then let's say he dies, but not for the Yavam, and now, she gets picked up on Yavam, Yavam Chayresh, a deaf mute, Ochelet. So here we're saying that what we're comparing is the Bia that the Chayresh does, that's analogous to the inferior forms of Bia we had here. In other words, we had Bia where, you know, he thought it was a different woman. He thought it was just for Shem's Nus, or it was Ones. That's legally equivalent to what the Chayresh doesn't have full Das. So, nevertheless, the Tana of the Bryce says This is the kasha against Shmuel. The Tana of the Braisa says that even if she went through, she wasn't eating truma in the first marriage, but in the Yibam marriage, even though the Yibam was an inferior bia, nevertheless she eats truma. That's a problem for Shmuel. The Braisa, like, you know, the coup de grace against the question against Shmuel, the Braisa says in this way, the strength of the Yavam is superior to the strength of the Baal, which is not what Shmuel said. So the Gemara says, "B'shleimu Rav Nicha." So according to Rav, we have no problems. Rav says that even if I have an inferior form of Yibam, fine, that's the wife, and she acquires all the rights there. El Shmuel Kasha, but Shmuel's now got the source. Amar Lach Shmuel. So Shmuel would say to you, "Hey, Mahachi, it's like you should do. It's like." It's as if there are words missing from the Braisa, and this is the way we should understand the Braisa. We're picking up again. So remember, the Braisa says, went to a Kohen and had a sin with him. Before he does the suin, he became a deaf mute. She doesn't eat truma, even if he did the suin with her, but he was a chayrin. But then, now this line he's adding on. This is like the history of Metzera. Kanas the Acharkach Charesh. Let's say he did the Nisuin with her, and so now she was eating Truma, and then he became a deaf mute. Ochelet. So now she eats the Truma. Made for the Flalfi Yavam Charesh. Now, if husband number one dies, who happened to be a Charesh, but when he did Nisuin, he had a full mental capacity. So she eats truma. So the way that Shmuel touches up the Braisa, there's no question, because she was eating truma in the first marriage. She has bia grua in the second marriage. But the bigrua, Shmuel says, where she was eating truma, you know, it won't make her stronger, but it'll put her in the same situation she was before. But then what do we do in the last line of the Braisa? The last line of the Braisa says that in this fashion, the Yavam has greater koach than the original husband. He says the Yavam is superior in this way. If the husband had been a cheresh from the get go, a deaf mute from the get go, she would never eat truma. But if the Yavam is a deaf mute from the get go, she could eat truma where she was eating truma from the first marriage. Okay, let's just summarize what we did. And then we'll go on, okay? So again, so we're talking about these bia gruot, in other words, inferior form of bia. I'm just repeating myself. You know, let's say they do, you know, the shogeg and mazid and ones that, you know, he didn't know who he was having relations with. And then, or he did it, the shame zanus or ones, he was thrown off the... He fell off the roof, and I think it was like he fell off the roof. He said the client, he fell off the roof, and he banged into her. So all those cases are a good bia, but what are they a good bia for? So we had in this little first lash, we had a machlok between Rav and Shmuel. So they both agreed that if in the first marriage had gone through nisuin, and we're talking about a family of Kohanim, in the first marriage had gone through nisuin, so she was eating truma. Everybody agrees that even though she's got a bia grew on the second marriage, that she eats the truma. That's not on the table. But the issue is, let's say she only went through Erusin in the first marriage, in which case she wasn't eating truma, and now she has this bia grua with the second husband. So if she had a good bia l'shem mitzvah, so everybody agrees that she would eat truma because that's fully his wife. But what about the bia grua? So that's my thought between Rav and Shmuel. So Rav says, notwithstanding the fact that it's a bigrua, he acquires her fully, and Mela she eats the truma. And Shmuel says, no, the bigrua, it's only going to be for the things that are written in the Pesukim of the Chumash, but it's not going to do anything to put her in a superior position than what she was before. So before she wasn't eating truma, she was not eating truma. Okay, who's any questions, comments, or thoughts on anything we did so far?
What's that okay. Little piece in there that the chayresh can't eat truma?
No. That's not what we said. We said that he's a kohen who's a chayresh. But he's marrying, he does Erusin with a woman who's not a Kohen, not a Bat Kohen. So if he does Erusin with her, so that he can't cause her to eat Truma. In other words, he's not a Bar Das. So his Erusin doesn't have the strength to cause her to eat
Truma. Oh, because he's not a Bar Das. That's right. That was the answer. It's not a Mun. He's not a Bar Das.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay. All right, let's see back. All right, now we're going to learn a different lashon. Okay, we're midway down the column, Anun Vav Amud Aleph, 56a. He says, V'ikadamri. Now, Ikadamri, this is a different lashon, the same topic, but a different version of the machloka between Rav and Shmuel. V'ikadamri, mina erusin d'ri kol lo achla. This version, if she only went through erusin with husband number one, everybody agrees, and then she had to be a grew with husband number two. Everybody agrees she does not eat truma. The halo'achla b'chayibal. She didn't eat it during the lifetime of the first husband. She can't eat it now. And again, if she would have a good via, everybody agrees she could eat it, but she had an inferior via. So this is different. Remember, in the first lashon, Rav held that even under those circumstances, she could eat truma. He pleaded in any suin. So here, and it was just like moving the hurdle, you know, like where the I don't know, whatever you call it, like the what do they call it when they jump over when you're running and they have like a bar that you run over, a hurdle, whatever. Anyway, so they're raising.
Yes,
raising,
a hurdle.
Yeah, or they're raising whatever the goalpost or whatever. So you get the idea. So he says he pleaded on Nisuin. The machloket in this version is if they went through Nisuin in the first marriage. Ravamar Ochelet to have an Achlam Ikara. In this version, Rav says, if she went through Nisuin in the first marriage, and now she has a Bigrua, she'll eat Truma in the second marriage. Shmuel Amar, ain't Ochelet. Shmuel says, even in that case, she doesn't eat Truma. In other words, even though she went through Nisuin, she was eating Truma, now she had the Bigrua, she's not going to eat Truma. Ki Rabbi Rachmana, be a Shogi Kameze, the Torah of the Parsha. When the Torah says, it says, Yivami Yavo Aleha, and we learned that shogeg is kemezid. Those were only things. It's kemezid. It was shogeg. Here, mezid is not used in the same sense. And it was the Mishnah. We use mezid in the sense that it was not. Here, he uses mezid in the sense that he knows what he's doing. He's using the same word but differently. He says shogeg kemezid. Mezid means a good being. Here. This is the Rabbi Rachmana be a shogeg kemezid. The Rambam word the parsha. It's just for the things that are written specifically in the Parsha, which we mentioned above, is like Yerusha, that Shimon, the brother, will Yarshim Ruvain's estate, and she, this woman, we potter from Yibam, she's finished with Yibam, of all the whole meaning of everything there. So now the Gemara says, so according to this, Shmuel says, if they had Nisuin in the first marriage, and now they do an inferior via in the second marriage with Yibam, Shmuel says, she cannot eat Truma. But Amar Nachman Amar Shmuel, Rav Nachman said in the name of Shmuel, we're trying to reconcile Shmuel's statement here, according to this version, with another statement that he made, and we had this above. Kol she'abal ma'atil, if the husband, the first husband, causes her to eat truma, which we think it means that he went through nisuin with her, he says, Yaveh ma'atil, Yavam causes her to eat truma with his inferior bia. So that's not what Shmuel said here, but here in the second statement, he does say that. So the Gemara says, Ema, the way I should understand Shmuel's statement here is, if it's the type of bia, not kol shabal ma'atil, kol bia shabal ma'atil ba, meaning he did bia l'shem nisuin. If he did that, he would cause the truma yave ma'atil ba. In other words, so if the yavam does a good bia l'shem, you know, to acquire her, what does Rashi say in this? He says, let me see what he says here. One second. Yeah, so he says, yeah, if he performs the Yibam with the proper intent, in other words, he's doing Yibam with the proper intent. He says, but if the type of Bia was such that the first husband would not cause her to eat Truma, meaning he didn't do Bia Lashem Nisuin, he says, Eina Yavam Ba'achil Ba, the Yavam doesn't cause her to eat it with that. All right, so we've been able to reconcile Shmuel's statement. Now, Meifei, now we ask Kasha against Shmuel from the same Brisa that we did above. The Brisa says, we're just repeating what we did above. Bati's jumping kaka, if a woman with her full mental faculties. She had a of the Kohen Kateah. She has an Amosin with the Kohen Yusuf Kateah. But it was speak with Konsa, and before he could do Nisuin, Ashin Charesh, he became a deaf mute. Eino Chelet. She doesn't eat Truma, and she doesn't even eat Truma, even if he would do Nisuin, she doesn't eat Truma. And that's what we said, that's Xera Durabanan. On a Dreisel level, she's really allowed to eat after Nisuin. The Durabanan, they have to, Amosin. But the Rabbani, you have to wait to Nisuin, but where the Nisuin are done by a Chereish, so we're afraid that people will be misled to think that even if the Erisin was done by a Chereish, you would have the same result. So we don't want to get involved with the Chereish. He says, mate, let's say that he dies and she wasn't eating Truma, but Aflav Le Yavam, Chereish, Ochalet. So she does eat Truma, it was Uyafakok Yavam, Kofal. Now again, Rav says so let's go slowly. Rav holds that if she was eating after the Nisuin, then with the inferior beer, she can continue eating. This Brisa says that it sounds like even if she just had an Erisin, she can eat the Truma. So even for Rav, it doesn't work out so well. So Bishleim L'Rav Kitaris Mikaris. So Rav will explain the Braisa the way we explained it for Shmuel before. Remember, it was the Chisuri Metzer of a Haki Kitani. In other words, then he added on a line to say, but if he had full mental capacity and he did these suin, then she eats Truma, and then he became a Chayresh, and then she fell before the Avam, so then she can eat Truma. So Rav, that's the way Rav will explain this Braisa like he did for Shmuel before. But according to Shmuel, there's no way to explain the Braisa, because according to Shmuel, there's no way that this woman could be eating Truma. There's no way for the woman to be eating Truma. Because Shmuel says that even if she had been eating Truma before, she cannot eat Truma now. The Braisa doesn't say that way. So the Gemara says, Shmuel Kasha is right. The Braisa is a kasha against you. Okay. Who's got questions, comments, and thoughts on anything that I did so far?
Can you repeat that last case one more time?
So in the Braisa, again, let's go over. Shmuel says that even if the first marriage went through Nisuin and she was eating Truma, if the second marriage is a Bia Grua, she cannot eat Truma. That's what Shmuel says. So the Braisa says, though, that she had the first marriage, she had Erusin with her husband who was a Pikeach. And then, before he could do Nisuin, he became a Chereish. So the Braisa says she can't eat Truma. And I added on, even if he would do Nisuin with her, she can't eat Truma, cannot eat Truma. But then the Braisa says that if Yibum is done, even by a Chereish, which would be like the equivalent of a Bia Grua, she can eat the Truma. So Rishul says there's no way you can eat Truma with a Bia Grua. And the Braisa says you could. So it's a Kashya against Shmuel. Right?
Yes.
Okay.
What's up? I have a question. How is it that you said he was a Pikeach. You said the guy was a Pikeach. And he did the Erusin, but the Nisuin he did, he was already mentally incapacitated. So how is it that they let him even do Bia with her? Like, why are they subjecting her to this life?
These are the facts that took place. I don't know what more to tell you. All right.
Who's they? She married him herself. Who's they? She decided to marry him. This wasn't Yibam.
She's a Yibamah. She doesn't have a choice.
No, the first marriage we're talking about.
Only the first marriage? She wasn't forced?
Again, the first marriage, Erusin is always from the das to the woman. So she entered an Erusin with a man and he had his full mental capacity. Then the Gemara says he became a Chereish before Nisuin. So the Tana Brisa said she can't eat Truma. And I added on that even if he would do Nisuin with her in that situation, she could still not eat Truma.
But could she get out of her marriage? I mean, if he doesn't have the mental capacity, he can't give her a get.
Yeah, it's a very difficult situation. When the husband doesn't have his mental capacity, then that's all I can say. It's very difficult. Okay, it's a problem. Okay, let me go further. Now, all right, I'm going to do this 10 lines before it gets away. Okay, so now we're going to quote a Braisa. So the first line of the Braisa is identical with the first line of the previous Braisa that we had quoted, but it's a different Braisa. So this is a woman with full capacity, and she has a resume the coin is Pikeh, but will speak with Kotza, Ashina Kharesh, in Okalek. He didn't do any Nisuin with her, and he became a deaf mute, so he says she doesn't eat Truma. And I said that even if he does Nisuin with her, but after he's Kharesh, so she still can't eat. But no, now he's a coin. Now let's say she ends up with a child with him, Ochelet. In other words, the child has a koach. So there's the grasha Chazal have. He says, "We leave Beis Hohegel of Lubalachmo." Three lines before it gets to one Rashi, Tari Beyachilu, that the child can cause her to eat truma. He says that's more typically where the husband's not around, but the child would be around. So this child is causing her to eat truma. Here the husband's around, but the husband doesn't cause her to eat the truma. He says, "Made haben." Now, let's say the son now dies. Rabbi Nathan will marry Ochelet. Rabbi Nathan says she still continues to eat truma, but Chachamim believe in Ochelet. Chachamim say no, she doesn't continue anymore. So again, so we're on this the truma scenario. So normally, so on a deraisa level, she eats truma once Averson is done, but on a drabbanim level, she has to wait for nisuin. But where the nisuin is done by a chayresh, so that's a didrabbanim, she doesn't eat truma, which we'll see in a minute. But then if she has a child, the child causes her to eat truma. But if the child dies, then she loses that right. And where it's not located, Rabbi Natan says she still continues to eat truma. So my time with Rabbi Natan, what's the reason for Rabbi Natan? He says that even if the child who was her ticket to truma dies, she still eats it. So I'm a rabbi, a whole shikavar after. Rabbi says she's already, you know, been able to eat truma, you know, like once the door is open, we're not going to close it. So Amalei Abayi, so Abayi says to Rabbi, we know Abayi was Rabbi's nephew, and he was his child. And Amalei Abayi, when we asked about the Shoshin, he said the Kohen. Does that make sense? What if we have a Bas Yisrael, you know, that marries a Kohen, who meet light, and then he dies? Teichul Shekhmar Akla, which is said that she continues to eat Truma because she was already eating. Once he dies, his kedusha is removed from her. She loses the right to the truma. So Hakanami, here too, with this child, came into midlife, since he's dead, he removes the kedusha from her. So that's far we don't think holds water. Elam Rav Yosef, Sam Rav Natan, these two Yecherish Machilim Betruma. So this is the machloket I mentioned before, that if the nisuim were done by a cheresh, and it was assuming the erusin were done by a pikeah, but the nisuim are done by a cheresh, does that cause it to be truma? So Nachman holds the nisuim cheresh ma'atil of the truma, but look as we know nisuim cheresh atu kibushe cheresh. He says that we're not afraid that people are going to get confused with the erusin. The erusin is done by a cheresh. One second. Right. In other words, if the Erusin were done when he was a Chayreish, there's no route where she can ever be permitted to eat Truma. But if the Erusin was done by Pikeah, so then when the Nisuin are done by a Chayreish, again, the reason we don't let them eat, in other words, the reason that we would not let her eat Truma after Erusin is because a woman stays with her family as opposed to the husband's family. after Erusin until Nisuin. So we're afraid that if she can eat truma, the husband will bring some truma over to her, and she'll give truma to the other members of the family. So once Nisuin happens, we're not concerned about that anymore. So based on that rationale, I would think that even if the Nisuin are done by a Chereish, that she should eat the truma, because she's presumably not living with her family anymore, typically. So, but the Gemara is saying, but there's a machloket tanaim, because some tanaim hold that we can't let her have eat truma with the nisun from a chayresh, because we're afraid that people get confused and think that even if the erusin were done by a chayresh, she could end up eating truma, which she can't do. So here, on the second line, Rabbi Nathan, Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Nathan, Nisun chayresh, Machilim truma. He doesn't hold that we have to be worried about the erusin from a chayresh, and worried about that people getting confused with that case. So again, Rabbi Nathan fundamentally disagrees with the Tanakhama. The Tanakhama holds that the nisun of a chayresh can never involve with truma. Rabbi Nathan holds no, she's holding that. So Amar Le Abaye, Ihati, if that's what the machloket's about, so no laben lovely, why do I need the case of the laben? In other words, even before you get to no laben, in other words, the Braisa should say that it says on six lines of over against one, we'll speak the code slash the Kareish, but if she goes to Nisun with him, she does eat it according to Rabbi Nathan. That's what the Braisa should say. So what are we getting involved with this whole Shtickel Torah about the son? In other words, Rabbi Nathan says that if the son dies, she still eats. But Rabbi Nathan holds that way because he holds that even the Nisuin wouldn't eat it. So in came Yahafi, no laben lovely. Why do I need the case of no laben? So he says, Mishum Rabbanim. In other words, I need that for the Chachami. But in other words, Rabbi Nathan, the Shikato holds after the Nisuin, even though the Nisuin were with the Chereish, she can eat Truma. That's the way Rabbi Nathan holds. But so why do we even bother getting involved with no laben? No laben is for the Chacham. The Chacham is so she can't eat truma, but if she has a son, she couldn't. So even assuming that's all correct, why don't we have Rabbi Nathan's opinion in the beginning of the Braisa, and then give the son being born? So the words of Shadi Hulu Rabbanan and the Sayyid Gul Tiger, but other Pali Galayim. Rabbi Nathan wanted to wait till the Chachamim finished all their Shitot. They hold that, you know, she doesn't eat truma after, if he became a cherish before Nisuin. And even if he went through Nisuin with her, she doesn't eat truma. If they have a son, then she does eat truma. If the son dies, he doesn't eat truma. And then he'll fill in his shita that that even the son dies, she could eat truma because really Nisuin never talked to her. So Ihachi, if that's the svara, Libi made haben, chalet, Rabbi Nathan Omer Ochelet. So the Shitot should be reversed. If we're saying Rabbi Nathan waits till the Chachamim are done explaining their Shitot, and only then he breaks in, so he should say, Neina ben Eino Ochelet. If the son dies, she doesn't eat Trum anymore. Rabbi Nathan Omer Ochelet. Kasha. So that's a Kasha on that whole Sfara here. So one second. Okay, so so he says here in footnote 45, communication he argues only when a child is born to him. So it sounds like at the end, I mean, we had a nice svar for Rabbi Nathan, but it sounds like that the only point of dispute is when the child is born. So it sounds like that, you know, what came before was not correct svar, but not both correct. It just says kasha means there's a question, but means you can come up with an answer to the question, but that's where the word is leaving it. Okay. Who said questions, comments, thoughts on anything so far? What do you got for me, Fern?
Just a question of protocol. An almana of a Kohen eats with a good bia, a good yipin, whatever it was, eats truma after the husband dies, right?
Wait, no. In other words, she was a Bas Yisrael.
Right.
And she married.
She goes back to her father's house and she doesn't eat
it. Right. So she doesn't eat truma unless she has kids.
Okay.
She has kids,
if she has a minor child,
then she eats truma.
Then she eats truma. And how does she get the truma? How does it come to her physically? someone comes over and gives.
But people give it to her, you know.
Same way the Kohen gets it. They give it to her.
All right. Okay, I'm going to move on. Now, okay, everything else good? Okay, so we're two lines from the bottom. Anun Baba Manala. Okay. Now, we said in the Mishnah that that just like if you you had relations with your Yavama in an inferior fashion, either shogeg or mazid, you know, or onus or ratzon, so too if you had that relationship with any of the arayot, you know, in the same for the same full force and effect, and even if it wasn't and even if it was just an Isra Lav, even to Psula, so and then having that relationship would passel this woman from marrying a Kohen. So we'll see in a minute. So the Gemara says, "V'chein abal alachat mikol harayon." Amar Rav Amram, the Milta Amar on Rav Sheshet. So Rav Amram says, Rav Sheshet said the following halacha. Turn page, the top line on the bottom page. Banarin hu la'ayin mimanit, and he illuminated our eyes from the Mishnah. In other words, Rav Sheshet stated over halacha, and he tried to propound a proof from our Mishnah, and based on his proof, we understood the Mishnah with new eyes. It says, and the halakha was like this: Eishet Yisrael shenensa, if the wife of Yisrael that was raped, afapishin luter labala, even though she's permissible to her husband, it was Chazal have, and the Gemara's going to quote this. It says by the sota in Parshas Naso, but he loaded pasa, she was not forced. So was she engaged in, you know, a meretricious, you know, relationship. And when she wasn't forced into it, but Chazal deduced from there that if she was forced, then she can remain with the husband. So Afapisha Mater Labala, even though she's permissible to her husband, Psula Lakuna, she becomes possible to a Kohen. So means if she was married to Reuven and she was raped, and then Reuven, let's say, dies, so she is now, even though she's a widow, and a Kohen normally can marry a widow, She's passed. She can't marry the Kohen anymore. She was raped. She had a relationship outside of marriage, even though it was against her will. But Tana Tuna, our Tana taught. And here's a nice expression, Tana Tuna. So the way Rashi takes it, Tuna is our Tana. So look at Rashi in the fourth white line. But Tana Tuna, Tana Dinan, Kmo Avuna Achuna. In other words, Tuna is our Tana, like Avuna, our father. Achuna, our brother. So in other words, the Tana Tuna, in other words, our Tana taught. Some want to say, I think, the other way around. Some want to say, in other words, the way the Rashi is learning is Vitana is the verb and Tuna is our Tana. So some want to say, no, Vitana, our Tana, and then Tuna he taught. Anyway, but either way. So the words is Vitana Tuna, V'chein abal k'chat kol ha'arayin amur p'tora. If a person has relations with any of the arayot, opsulo. Psulo means it was an Easter lav. You had like with a mamzer, the mamzer with the Bas Yisrael. He says, so my v'chein, what does it mean? And similarly, he says, my lav, lo shenam shogeg, lo shenam mezid, lo shenam onus, lo shenam ratzon. It's not that the Tan is saying, it doesn't make a difference how the relationship occurred, and let's focus on the onus, even if it was against her will, and then Vikatani Pasla, and then later on the Mishnah says Pasla, he passes her from Kuhuna. So, meaning that from our Mishnah, you see that if a woman was forced into a relationship against her will, she still is Pasla from marrying a Kohen. Like an example, like in other words, let's say a Mamzer, you know, rapes an unmarried woman. And so she's passed for marrying Kuhuna. That's the proof. So that was like an eye-opener for us. So the Gemara rejects it low. It's not that it's wrong, but it's not, you know, you don't have to say it that way. My v'chein, I should say v'chein, the Tana here is talking about a hara. Hara is the beginning of the sexual act. Teaching me that in all these cases, Ha'ara'a is, you know, good, whether it's, you know, this person, that person, or the other person. In other words, legally effective. Ha'ara'a daman. In other words, who's Ha'ara? In other words, Mishnah is saying that if any of these women have even the beginning of the Bia with somebody they're not supposed to, they become pasul tikkun. That's what the Tanna is trying to emphasize. So it's not trying to emphasize the fact that it was ba'ones. He's trying to emphasize the fact that if they had relationship with somebody who was prohibited, let's say the mom is there with the Bas Yisrael, and even they just ha'ara'a, she's pasul for kahuna. So ha'ara the mom. Ilema da'arayo, he will say it's ha'ara from arayo, or the forbidden sexual relationships. In other words, arayo are, you know, your sister, your close relationships and things like that. Lemeimer da'arayo, yofina b'yavama. Do we learn Hara of Araya from Yavama? In other words, we're saying just like Hara is did by Yavama, so too is true by Araya. Is that the way we learn it? We learn Araya from Yavama. Adraba Yavama Yalfina Me Araya. The Iker Hara by Araya Ktiv. We learn the Yavama, we learn from Araya because the Iker Hara by Araya Ktiv. Now, this line is difficult. Some take out this line. Hara is written by Arayo, but in yesterday's Gemara, the Gemara learned Yavama not from Arayo, they learned it from Easter Lavin. The Gemara, yeah, be a. But you could say that either you could take the line out, or if you leave the line in, and Tosfos discusses this, you could say, like in general, he says, in other words, in a Luther sense, we learn the Lavim from the Harab, from the Lavim in general, from Arayo. Ela Mai V'chein, what does it mean, V'chein? Ashlok Darka D'Arayo. So we think, no, V'chein maybe is talking about in unnatural, and it was from the backside of the woman, by Arayo. Adrava, Ikar Mishkabe Yishar, by Arayo Ketiv. Anyway, so we're saying, if it's true by Yavama, that he can even have relations with her Ashlok Darka, and that's considered Bia, so too is true by Arayo. But is that the way we learn it? We learn this as Mishkevei Isha, the plural, we learn by Arayo. So the Gemara concludes, Bechein could be addressing itself. When the Talmud Mishnah says Bechein, he could be talking about Shloka Darka, the Chayin Lavin. That if a person of Chayin Lavin, like the Mamzer with the Bas Yisrael, was alive, and he did a Shloka Darka, that could be what the case, what the Talmud is teaching me. That nevertheless, they're over on the lav, and Echinami should be possible for Kahuna, but he's not addressing himself necessarily to the case of Onis. All right. Amar Rava, Eshikon Shinen Sabala Lokelim Shim Zona. So Rava says, now the wife of a Kohen that was raped, so he can't stay with her anymore. So Rava says that her husband, if he does stay with her, he gets Malkod for being married to a zona. Now it means, even though she was Nensa, but it means like she's referred to as a zona. In other words, like I wouldn't, like the way people translate zona isn't the way that's meaning halachically. She gets the din of a zona. So in other words, it says Isha zona lo yikachu, they're not allowed to marry a zona. So the word says Mishum zona in Mishum tumalo. There's another pasuk, it says, this pasuk is by a different case about a man who divorces his wife, and then she remarries somebody else, and he can't remarry her. But the Gemara learns that this pasuk applies also to a kohen with a wife who's netza. So mishum tumalo, he says, ema af mishum zona. So for both, let me get malko. So ma'atim Rabbi Zeira. So Rabbi Zeira posts a kasha against Rabba. The Rabba, it should be Rabba with a hay, the cracks on the side. So Matim Rabbi Zeira, this is from a Brisa. The Brisa says, the Hilo did Pasa. This is talking about the Sota. She wasn't forced to do it, she did it of her own volition, Asura, so therefore she's prohibited to her husband. Hanit Pasa Luterra. So the Brisa says, had she been forced, she would be permissible to the husband. There's another woman, even though she was forced into the sexual act, she does Sura. But Aza, which one is that? Zu Aisha Kohen. That's the wife of a Kohen. The Lava Bamatha Essay. Now, that last drasha would be a lav haba b'chol essay. Now, the part which is tricky, as we mentioned before about Zona and Tuma, that could be an admonition not to marry her initially. But to stay married to her, we said that you get malkod. So, but it seems like you shouldn't get malkod because it's a lav haba b'chol essay. It's a lav that is derived from an essay. The essay is that nitpasa is muteret if she, of her own volition, engages in, excuse me, if she was forced, she's permissible to you. But there is another one that's not permissible to you, and that's the Ishan Kohen. So you wouldn't get malchut for that. So I'm a rabbi. So rabbi explains, I call you b'chlal zona. In other words, all women, in other words, everybody defaults into becoming a zona when they're raped. All women get defaulted into being a zona. In other words, all the women have a din in the zona when they're raped. But then when the Torah reveals to me that I'm allowed to remain with my wife, Oneshus Yisrael, so she's removed from the category of being a zona, but it means, but the Eisha Kohen stays with the status of the zona. So it means that we're not going to say it's lava. We're not going to say it's a lava b'machol essay. In Achinami, if he stays with his wife, who's a zona, he'll get malkot, and he'll get malkot also for the tumah. We thought that maybe, like the Torah here is teaching, that there's a different status, you know, and that when things change and you get lava b'machol essay. But no, that original lava stays in place. Let me just do a little bit more, and then we'll pause when I get to the Mishnah. The Ikeda Amri, others say, Amar Rabba, Isha Kohen Shenen Sabala Lokela Mishum Tuma. The Rabba said that a wife who's raped gets Malka because of Tuma. In other words, Akareya Shurim Tama'a. Mishum Tuma Imishum Zona Lo. Even all of a Tuma not for Zona. Alma Ba'ones Lo Karina Be Zona. So that sounds like if it's an ones rape, we don't call her Zona. Mati Brebi Zera, Behila Napasa Surah Napasa Mutarat, we do this above. If she's forced, she's permissible. There's another woman, even though she was forced, she's prohibited. So it should be an essay, we think, and not a lav. In other words, that's a kasha against Rabba. Rabba says, get malko because of tuma. And now we think the Torah's teaching me is really a lav abamachal essay. So I'm a Rabba, I call you b'chalal akhriya shahu tama, that all women were included in this category. So it means the Asian Israel is removed from the category. The Asian Cohen stays in the category. Indeed, you would get malchut for staying with her, according to both the Shono. Who's got questions, comments, thoughts on anything we did so far?
I have a question. Right. So yes. If he gets if they get malchut, and then that's it, they could still stay together after they get lashes, and that's it.
No, I don't think it works that way. I think that for each act of, you know, of each sexual act that he would be with her, he would get malko for it. All right. Let me go for a little tomorrow. All right. Now the next mishnah. Okay. The manitin. Now there's a whole machloket. Rashi has two shonah. How to learn this mishnah? Easier way. Let me see which one was the easier one. That coin. Yeah. So we're going to learn that we're talking about an old coin. So my niece, an almana, the coin gadol. If you have an almana who wants to marry a coin gadol, so they were benot coin and they were eating truma up till now. Even if she's an almana, but she goes back to her father's house. The Grusha Pulitz is the same thing. But once they engage in Eresin in the almana with the Kohen Gadol and the Grusha Pulitz with the Kohen Had Yod, that cuts off the right to Truma. Because, and we'll see in the Gemara, they're setting themselves up for a Bia Psula. In other words, if they consummate the marriage, so there'll be a violation of halacha. Rav Lazar Rav Shimon Bar Shimon. Rav Lazar Rav Shimon said, no, they can still eat truma until they do nisuin. It armlu on a darshu. Now, let's say they were widowed or divorced. Minonisuin psulot. So if the widowhood or the divorce took place after nisuin, A, they're psulot. They can't eat truma anymore. Even if they were benot kohen, they can't eat truma anymore. And let's say they were widowed, they're passed to marry even the kohen, and then that could be, let's say, by the abana. This has been a erusin sheirot. But if they got widowed or divorced after erusin, now they can eat the truma. They can eat truma even according to the first opinion. In other words, the first opinion of the Mishnah, the Tanakhama, who was Caesar mayor, he holds that once you have erusin with somebody who's prohibited to you, that terminates your right to truma. You're benot bat kohen. But even he will agree that if at that point in time she's divorced or she's widowed, then she can be restored to a right to eat truma, because only the whole problem was she was lined up for a bia psula. Now she's not lined up for a bia psula. Okay, now we've got to wrap up with the Gemara. Now, Gemara, Tanya Amar Rav Meir, Kama Chomer. Rav Meir says it's Kama Chomer. Now, Rashi again, he's got, you know, he has two lashonos, but this explains the first way, but Tanya Amar Rav Meir, Kama Chomer, Ma Kiddushin Rishot, Ein Malachilin. No, Kiddushin Rishot, let's say you have Yisrael, who does Kiddushin with the Bat Kohen. So that causes her, that terminates her right to truma. In other words, she's bat kohen. She goes to erusin with the Yisrael. That terminates her right to truma. Kiddushin aveira lo kol shekein. So certainly, the kiddushin with the aveira, where it's against halacha to do it, certainly that terminates her right to eat truma. So that's the argument that Rav Meir made, and he's the Tanakham or Mishnah. So Amru lo, the Chacham said back to Rav Meir, lo, the Mamarta be Kiddushin Rishon, Shkei Elo Lahachim al Kumacher, Kiddushin Rishon. This Yisrael, he has no koach to cause anybody to eat truma under any circumstances. So I can understand that he terminates her right to eat the truma. Tomer Kiddushin Aveira, Shkei Yish Lahachim al Kumacher. But the Kiddushin Aveira that you're talking about, in a different situation, they would cause somebody to eat truma. So maybe in this case, it does not terminate her right to eat truma. Now, this question, you can ask me this, but I got to finish the daf in a few minutes. Amar Blazer Voshia, Psuadaka Kohen, Shkadesh Bak Yisrael. Psuadaka is a man who has, you know, his testicles are crushed, and he's not allowed to come to Kahal. So the Torah says, well, you won't Psuadaka, which of Kahal Hashem. How do they translate it? Yeah, wounded or crushed testicles, he says.
Which?
All right, one second. So, Amar Blazer Moshe, Sudaka Kohen, Shekidei Shabbat Yisrael. Let's say he was Makai Shabbat Yisrael. So, in other words, they're violating the law. So, this is Banu Machloket Rabbi Amar Blazer Rabbi Shimon. He's a Kohen. He says, the Rabbi Amar Mishtamer, the Bibsula, the right to Loachla. According to Rav Meir, says that when a woman is lined up to be a psula, she doesn't eat truma, or in this case, it like terminated her right to truma. Hanami lo achlo. So here in this case, when he's mekadesh Shabbat Yisrael, she can't eat truma. Now we said nobody really eats truma after kiddushin anymore, but Rashi mentions that there are some situations where you could possibly eat the truma after kiddushin. And that would be, let's say, where the time elapsed so that he didn't pick up on the marriage, then eventually she couldn't get the right. But here now, he says that Rav Lazar Rav Shimon Ami Yishtamer would be absolute the right to Akla. The other time, behold, that the fact that she's like lined up for the Absula, she doesn't harm a right to Truma, and Ami Akla, so she would also eat it. Okay, I think I'm going to break off at this point. Any questions? Come close to anything we did? Okay, we just end the recording. Good luck, everybody.